We're all becoming familiar with medicinal use of marijuana for such things as glaucoma, the side effects of chemotherapy, and the wasting syndrome common in PWAs.
Yes.
What are some reasons you might recommend the use of marijuana?
As a non-licensed person with information and wisdom about health, I cannot recommend anything. I can tell you that in my experience and in my reading of historical lore, that marijuana has been considered a tremendous ally by midwives for especially helping women who are having difficulty with birth, that it has been considered a tremendous ally for fertility. I remember going to Jamaica after there was some news about, oh, marijuana harms your chromosomes and you're less fertile. And I remember sitting there in Jamaica with this man smoking a big spliff, you know, one of those big cigars of marijuana. And I said to him, what do you think about that? You think, you know, that marijuana, like, messes up your fertility? And he motions over to his wife, who's standing there with the nursing baby, the 2-year-old, the 5-year-old, the 6-year-old, the 8-year-old, the 12-year-old, the 15-year-old. He says, how much more I have to smoke of this mon before it affects my fertility? I think it does affect fertility. I think it ups it.
Now, we've been getting some letters from diabetes patients that are using marijuana. Have you heard anything about that?
Yes, and also people with multiple sclerosis.
Yes.
And it seems to really help with the bladder control with multiple sclerosis. Now, it's really difficult ever to say, you know, oh, you know, this thing is really helping this person with multiple sclerosis. Very, because it's such an erratic disease. Even with drugs, we can't say that. But the people that I know and the things that I have read lead us to believe there is some improvement.
Right. Now, what about warnings about marijuana?
Well, as I said, you know, one of the supposed warnings is difficulty with fertility, which I simply have not seen. I actually believe it's a fertility promoter. I have also seen warnings about it possibly depressing the immune system. I certainly do not see any evidence of that at all. I know, as you know, as you said, people with AIDS, many of them who are using marijuana and are outliving their peers by a lot, you know, not the least of which is because it keeps their appetite up, it keeps their interest in life up. And certainly if it was depressing their immune system, that's the population we would see it in.
You're a strong advocate of the use of ritual and spell casting. Do you think marijuana has a place in this realm?
I tend not to use the word ritual very much. I use the word ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
Because so many people in America have seen the word ritual with satanic in front of it.
Mm-hmm.
So let's use ceremony, because then we understand that ceremony is sacred theater. And I think that many people, and perhaps rightly so, get a little nervous when you talk about spell casting. What do we mean spell casting? hexes, curses, da-da-da-da-da. So, you know, simple ceremony is the way that I prefer to say it, so that people understand we're talking about holding hands and saying grace. So that people understand we're talking about lighting a candle. Hang on. So that you're doing great, and what's important is to keep the slices pretty much the same size so they cook evenly.
I'm sorry, Rod, we're cutting on your move.
So, you know, that, yes, I do big ceremonies. I do initiations. I do crone's crownings. I do moon lodges. I do some big things, but it doesn't have to be big. Small things are really, really important, too. If you have, you know, just a little ceremony that you do when you get in your automobile that makes you feel safer, that's an important thing to do. And I find that so much of modern life has replaced reality with plasticity. So, for instance, when there are women at the Wise Women's Center and we are having a summer solstice ceremony, We aren't having a ceremony for a made-up reason. The summer solstice is something that has happened on this planet for millions of years, hundreds of thousands of years. The oldest archaeological remnants that we find are stones, mounds, things that are put up so that people know when summer solstice is, when winter solstice is, when the spring and fall equinox is, because these are really important, vital times in the year. They are important for our survival. So when we celebrate, when we do ceremony, we feel like we're doing something. This connects us in a deep and real way with our planet, with our solar system, with our bodies. When we celebrate the supposed religious holidays, unfortunately, it often kind of takes us away from our life or our body, because it's not something that helps us connect to the outside world. And so I think this is part of where the teachings of the wise woman tradition are somewhat different, in that the sacredness, the spirituality, is not something that is otherworldly, but it's something that's imminent. It's something that's in us, that's in every person, that's in all of life, that's in nature, that's in the rocks and the waters and the streams.
Now, the concept of self-empowerment seems fundamental to your point of view. What do you think about the growing governmental encroachments on personal freedoms? I'm thinking about the fact that marijuana is illegal, attempts to regulate herbs, all those type of things.
Exactly. It's certainly deeply disturbing to me, right, as someone who has been active in working with psychedelics and psychoactives since the mid-60s. And that was actually one of the reasons that I moved from Los Angeles to the East Coast, was that I wanted to take some LSD. And people listen to my story and they say, wait a second, you moved from the West Coast to the East Coast to get LSD? I said, yeah, we're talking the early 60s here, when it was still legal, when Millbrook was the scene. I said, now, it's absolutely true, you know, that once I got here, at that point, it was legal. And it was, you know, startling to me that it was made illegal. I simply couldn't see, you know, any, I didn't understand what the problem was here, that, you know, we were being told that this totally benign substance needed to somehow be made illegal. And, you know, that I saw friends of mine being put in jail as being threats to society for using something that I only ever saw tremendous benefit from. I took LSD, I would say, more than 400 times and guided thousands of people on trips, and I never saw anything but tremendous benefit to everyone from its use. So this is not really new to me, that the government reaches out and says, oh, wait a minute, we can't have our citizens doing this. You know, they might get enlightened, and where would we all be then? I think that it is tremendously difficult for all of us to have the government looking over our shoulders saying, do this, don't do that. And yet, I also find that the same people who say, oh, yeah, well, the government's really getting in our way and telling us what we can and can't do, are usually the people that actually want Medicaid and welfare and all kinds of government programs. We do have to understand that those are the two sides to government. If you want government to take care of you, then you are laying yourself open for government to tell you what to do.
Right. And do you consider yourself philosophically against the war on drugs?
I have seen in my lifetime that the war on drugs has created tremendous crime, has certainly made my life worse. 15 years ago, if you lived in Manhattan and you had a dead-end job, no possibilities of improvement, and a bunch of kids, and just felt awful, you could go out in the street and for $5, you could buy some marijuana, and you know what? You could feel better for a while. Not that you thought, you know, that you were necessarily changing anything by smoking the marijuana, but at least you changed your attitude and you didn't feel so depressed about the dead-endedness of your life. Now, for your $5, you cannot buy marijuana. All you can get is crack.
Right.
And that is going to destroy you, destroy your life.
What's the first time you ever smoked marijuana?
I was 18 years old at UCLA. I was at a party.
Who turned you on?
Somebody passed this funny-smelling thing around. And I said, oh, no, I don't smoke. And they said, oh, you want to smoke this? And as with most people, I didn't feel too much of anything. But I did find myself giggling a lot.
What do you think about the recreational use of marijuana?
I think that life should be recreational. I think that recreation is sacred. I do not see that we need to make a difference between that. In the native and traditional cultures that I have been in, spirituality is recreation, and everyone participates, from the pregnant woman to the newborn to the old person. Unlike our culture, it's understood that the psychoactive substances are healthy, help people, and especially help people and communities to be more caring of each other, which is, I think, the essence of spirituality. That spirituality helps all of us to be the best we can be. Because it's really hard. It's really hard. We're all always dealing with our own greed, our own desires, our own particular selfish interests. And the more that we can really tune into the other aspects of life in addition to, not instead of, but in addition to what we need, if we also acknowledge, see, and know what others need, then our communities are much healthier and therefore more sacred.
Do you have a vision for the world's passage into the 21st century?
Yes, I would like to see every person be an herbalist. I would like us all to reclaim the wise woman way, in which we understand that each person is capable of being whole, holy, and sacred, in which we truly come of age in the Aquarian sense, and rather than looking to gurus or spiritual leaders, we look to the earth, we look to nature, and we look to ourselves, and understanding the inherent sacredness and wholeness of our own beings, which is, to my sense, where the psychoactive ideally take us, is into the sacredness and the wholeness of our own selves. Somebody said to me, what's your goal in life? I said, my goal in life is to get as old as I possibly can, have as much fun as I possibly can, and then die.